kitchen at Westlake Ace Hardware with their grilling folks and our very own executive chef Bear Cohn from the cafe and the Holiday Inn and Country Club Plaza. We are getting ready to grill, and we just said earlier in the show, grilling is a very versatile and can happen in a variety of ways. We've got this grill hot, we've got the great seasoned, and we're ready to go. What are we going to begin with, Chef?
I think what we're going to start with is our, we're going to make some veggie kebabs.
Uh-huh. What kind of veggies are we going to use?
Well, I've got some Roma tomatoes. I've got some really nice, gorgeous mushrooms. I've got some corn cobettes, and I've got these really nice, gorgeous, sweet little peppers that we're going to put on there.
I'm just going to describe what the corn cobettes is. Literally, you take a corn on the cob, and you just slice it. What would you say, about an inch?
About an inch and a quarter. We're just going to make a little wheel on it is what we're going to do.
Right, and those are fun.
And we're going to start with one of those, and we're going to finish with one of those because the cob part of it in is so hard, it's going to kind of keep everything in there, keep it from sliding off the
they did behave throughout the grilling. They did. I think it was the corn that did. I think there was some red onion in there.
There was. I also had a little red onion too. And you know, the many different styles, Joe, that you have of kebabs and the skewers down there.
These were
just really cool.
Yeah, these
really
were like little circles.
Kind of
almost
a half moon shape.
You've probably never seen a circle kebab before, have you?
No, I hadn't.
But it looks great on the grill and on the plate. It's great for presentation.
Lots of color that it brought out there. Mm-hmm. So we're going to, let's get started. So on the cabette, you want to cut a wheel about an inch and a half thick, kind of your own profile on that. Put that on there. Then we're going to put a mushroom on there. Roma tomato. We're going to cut these into really big, thick pieces. One, as you cook, they will actually start shrinking in size. Two, we don't want something so small that it will dissipate and just fall off the skewer. So
that was
nice, big pieces.
That was important, is that you kept all the vegetables in a similar size and nothing too small, so it doesn't disintegrate on the grill.
Right.
Yeah,
very important to do that. So once we get all of these on, like I said, we're going to start with the corn
cob baby peppers,
put all the peppers on there, and then we're going to end it with the same cobette wheel right there. And that way it's going to lock everything in there. Once we get that on there, we're going to take a little olive oil on each side. We're going to kind of give it a little bath right there.
I wanted to mention what you use for this because it's wonderful. I call them, you know, ketchup bottles, but they're little squeezy bottles.
Little
squirt bottles, and it was a wonderful way to apply the oil, sort of evenly.
It's easy, but most importantly, it's just easy to handle.
Yeah,
it is. You know, instead of trying, in most olive oil scenarios, you know, it's a little a drip scenario that comes out of there. This is just a real easy application.
Right.
Just about every kitchen that I know of, you know, uses a process like this. I do it even at my home. It just makes it easier to handle and so forth. Plus, it's easier to hang on to.
It is.
So once we put the olive oil on both sides, we're going to season this with a salt and pepper mix. Feel free to use whatever seasoning that you like, but don't under-season. Give it some flavor.
We forget to do that. And you used kosher salt, of course.
We do.
Kosher salt, fresh cracked pepper.
And I just mix those two together, about a 70-30 mix, 70% salt, 30% pepper. Mix that all together, and then don't do one side. Do the other side, too.
Yep.
Very important. So we're going to make those. We're going to set those to the side. We're not going to put those on the grill because they will cook very quickly. So we're going to set those to the side. The next thing we're going to do is the corn on the cob.
Now, I loved this because I've never done it this way.
Not only is this kind of a really cool presentation, but it makes it really fun to eat it this way, too. So when you buy your corn, you're going to peel it back a little bit, make sure that the kernels are there, and as we always check our
corn.
So when we get it home, we're actually going to pull the ears back,
but
we're not going to take them off.
But then you took the silk.
We're going to tear it down about an inch all the way from the bottom, and then we're just going to pull all the silt off.
Okay.
All the silk, we're going to pull that completely out from in between all the ears and off the cob itself, make sure it's all clean, give it a bath, wash it. Then, very generously, don't be afraid to put...
The operative word throughout is generous. Okay.
Take a butter mixture. You can either use real butter, a margarine,
it has to be real butter,
for me, real butter.
Okay.
So we're going to put... And you're going to put this on excessively heavy. There's a reason for that. It will not overkill it or anything. But we're going to put it on very heavy.
And again, you use those clear plastic bottles that had been, you know, melted right. a bit, and you just squirt it out, and it was so same much thing. Easier to apply.
So extremely generous, we're going to put it on there. And the same thing back to the seasoning, mm-hmm. a salt and pepper mix, mm-hmm. and we're going to put that on excessively heavy, too.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason why we're going to do this excessively heavy, because once we get all this done and get it all seasoned, we're going to pull the ears back over the cob. The ears themselves, through the cooking process, it's going to absorb about 80% of that whole mixture that you just put on there.
Yep.
So by the time this is all done, it's going to have the right flavor equation, mm-hmm. butter, mm-hmm. salt and pepper, seasoning. But we got to start off really, really heavy because it's going to absorb.
And we're always told that about grilling because some of the seasoning comes off, and so this is what's left.
Right.
But it was so much fun to put its little coat back on
right.
and tie it back up again before it went back on the grill.
Now, because the corn and cob, we're actually going to put that on the grill right now because it does take a little bit more time, per se, than the meat's going to take to cook.
Good thing to remember. It does.
So don't be afraid. You're going to put it the whole ear, everything. Put it right there, right over the flame, directly right over the flame.
Yep, he was center stage.
You want to turn it, keep it turned. Yes, some of those ears are going to burn up. That's all right.
Okay.
All that carbon is all part of the ambiance of what this is going to taste like and what it's yep. going to look like from a presentation standpoint.
That's fabulous.
Don't just leave it on there and forget it. You're going to have to turn it over and over about 3 or 4 times throughout the rest of our cooking process.
So the veggie kebabs are to one side, but they have been oiled and seasoned, and now the corn has had the same process, only it's on the grill now.
It's on the grill.
Okay.
So the next thing to do, let's prepare our steaks and our pork chops. So
on our
top sirloin steak, we're actually going to take a knife. We're going to cut a little pocket into the steak here.
Horizontal.
Correct. I don't want to cut all the way through it. I don't want to go from one end to the other. I'm going to create a pocket so we can fill this pocket up with gorgonzola cheese.
Yes, what a wonderful thing to do. And safety, you had your hand flat on top of it. The knife was absolutely parallel to the cutting board, and you did it slowly and carefully as you were cutting.
Of course, my knives are super, super,
yes.
super sharp.
Yeah.
Probably way more sharp than most home knives.
I would imagine.
But even at that, you do want to go slow.
Slow.
Just so if you're not level and you're actually going mm-hmm. through it, you don't end up taking another part of the anatomy with that process.
Wouldn't want to do that. No. So he has a little cut in his little pocket.
So once we have this little pocket, then we can take, in my recipe here is gorgonzola cheese. Feel free to go crazy on this.
Yeah.
You can do feta, you can do boursin, whatever your favorite cheese is, you can put this in. So you can do a cheddar inside there. I like the gorgonzola. It's a heavily laced garlic blue cheese.
Yes.
Wonderful. So we put that in there. Be a little generous. Don't be over generous with it because you don't want it.
It'll go out on the grill and into the right.
Out. So once we get in there, you've got a little lump in there. We're going to press it down a little bit to make the steak flat so we get mm-hmm. a nice flat grilling surface. Then on the pork chop, this pork chop
now,
is
did
so
we season? Did we season that the
we're,
steak?
We're going to season everything together first.
Okay, so we got him stuffed.
Right.
He's to one side. Now
he's
we have
one
that
side.
Pork,
the pork chop.
Chop.
I'm actually going to butterfly this. So the bone is right on there. I'm going to go from the meat side. We're going to cut all the way from one end to one end, all the way about 1/4 inch from. So we can actually, when we open this up, it'll butterfly completely open.
Yes.
So we've got both of them cut. One of them stuffed with gorgonzola cheese. Now let's do a little seasoning. So
okay.
again, back to the olive oil. We're going to generously put some olive oil on both sides of.
And people think because it's red meat and it has some fat content in it that you don't need to put oil on it, and that is so not true.
The fat part or the marbling
yes.
of a steak is actually going to dissipate through the cooking process, and that's going to become flavor.
Mm-hmm.
But we still need to do seasoning on the external part.
Or it's going to stick and it won't caramelize, and we wouldn't think of doing that to this wonderful food.
It's going to take away from the flavor process, too.
Right.
So, olive oil on both
Please.
Sides, salt and pepper.
Please.
I used your prime rib seasoning that you had. It was
a magnificent seasoning. Fabulous.
Absolutely magnificent. So on the steak, we did that part.
Mm-hmm.
On the pork chop, after we did the olive oil, I used your Byron's butt rub, and that is an already salted product,
mm-hmm.
so you don't want to add.
Be mindful of that when you're going to add a
correct.
Sauce, what seasoning you would be using.
Plus, we don't want to additionally add salt and pepper like
right.
I am on the steak side
right.
because this has already got a salt additive to it. But it has some beautiful sweet brown sugars that are in it and all of the other spices that I use. I've actually met Brian. He's a pretty cool guy. All that's on there. Now we're ready to put these on the grill.
So the steaks are on the grill. Now we've kept the pork chop together at this point. We haven't opened it up.
Right.
Just yet. So now we're going
part of that cooking process. We're going to cook both sides of that pork chop before we open it up. I want to cook each side, crisscross, get some grill marks on there. Then we're going to open up the inside. Plus, it's so thick, it's going to help with the cooking
process.
It's
going to help with the cooking process.
When we do open that up.
Okay, now for the pizza. And I love this because you used a marvelous flatbread. You don't have to use pizza dough if you don't want.
You can use pizza dough, flatbread. There's so many versatile products that are on the market, Bonnie. It's just really crazy. I mean, you can go
and fun,
to...
Fun.
You talk about something to get the kids or get the whole family involved on doing something like this on the grill. It is just really cool what you can do.
Well, and the children get to, or grown, I shouldn't say children, the grown-ups get to help decide what toppings they want.
So I'm a big kid.
We notice that. But so the fun is they're participating in the preparation.
Right,
and, you
right.
know, they've already had that connection. So what did we put on our pizza?
So we did a flatbread style bottom there. So we did a little bit of the marinara or a pizza sauce. Especially when you're doing something really thin like that, don't overkill it. Don't put
please
tons
remember this.
And tons yeah. and just try to slather it with cheese.
It. Yeah.
One, it's going to drench the dough or the flatbread. Two, same thing with the cheese. We're going to sparingly put it on because once it melts, it's going to flatten out and it's going to spread.
And you used a mozzarella.
I did a mozzarella, mix is what I did.
Mm-hmm.
So we kind of did halfies on this. So one side, we did a traditional Italian side.
Mm-hmm.
We had some pepperoni, some seasoned sausage, of course, the cheeses and so forth.
Mm-hmm.
We did some black olives.
Mm-hmm.
And then on the other side, we actually did a steak side to this where we grilled off part of the steak that we didn't stuff. And we sliced it very, very thin at a medium-rare texture.
There were artichokes there, too.
We did artichokes.
Our celebrity taster loved those.
Oh, it was absolutely wonderful. Absolutely wonderful. But we kind of do the cheese in layers. We start off with a little bit of layer cheese, and then we put the spinach on with the artichokes. Then we did a little bit of cheese on top of that. Then we did our seasonings. We did some fresh oregano seasoning over the whole thing.
Really
and then
intense.
We topped it with just a sprinkle on top of that. And then on the grill, we've already got our pizza platform that is offered here at Westlake. And then we went ahead and put it on there.
Okay. When we come back, we're going to finish off cooking presented in Parrot. Stay with us in the kitchen.